Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
1 year ago, Republican Scott Brown pulled off a stunning upset to be elected the new U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, and the country suddenly woke up to the new political force of the Tea Party. But in the year since, Brown has gone from being the poster child of the Tea Party movement to its target. In a recent interview, the head of a Republican PAC that donated tens of thousands of dollars to Brown's campaign in 2010 told WBUR that he's now actively seeking a candidate to challenge Brown in the GOP primary in 2012. So how did this come to be? Well, Brown didn't do himself any favors when he made this comment at the Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast in Boston.
People need to forget about the little itty-bitty letter behind my name and other people's names and just kind of get going and get our jobs going and do what's best for this state and for this country.
Brown was talking about the letter R, signifying his Republican Party affiliation. It was a gesture of bipartisanship after the attempted assassination of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords earlier this month in Tucson. But to many members of Brown's conservative base, it's just another sign that their senator is not the man they thought he was.
My name is Herbert Yakis, and I live in South Weymouth, Massachusetts.
Like the majority of voters in Weymouth, Yakis voted for Brown over Democrat Martha Coakley last January and had very high hopes. But now, when we met him sitting by the window at Mary Lou's coffee shop on a recent afternoon, the World War II veteran had a message he wanted to share directly with the senator.
And I think, Mr. Brown, I think you're a nice guy, and I think you understand a lot. You talk pretty good before you get in, but all of a sudden you back down. Something scares you. I don't know if it scares you, but something's making you weaker in your thoughts. You're not strong.
It's pretty much the way Republican political analyst Todd Domke sees it, too, that Brown hasn't turned out to be the strong political force his supporters expected.
The expectations were so unbelievably high for Scott Brown going in. He was the David who had beaten the Goliath in one-party state. He became a Republican rock star just by winning. But the expectations were, frankly, just too high.
Instead of going to Washington and shaking things up, Domke says Brown went to Washington and, well, sort of blended in.
He's sort of trying to emulate what Hillary Clinton did when she went into the Senate as the former first lady. Everyone expected her to use her star power and her celebrity. Instead, she was more studious, more low profile, and trying to earn clout in the Senate in a low-key way.
Beyond that, Brown has taken several key votes that didn't sit well with many conservatives. Most notably, he compromised with Barney Frank on the congressman's Wall Street overhaul, earning him the warm praise of the bill's co-sponsor, Senator and Democrat Chris Dodd. It's almost the perfect example of the yin and yang of politics. The very things that infuriate his more hard-nosed supporters are the same things contributing to what is Brown's popularity among voters as a whole. Tom Jensen is director of the North Carolina-based firm Public Policy Polling.
He's one of the most popular politicians in the country, and most of the other folks who are at the top of that list are Republicans in really Republican states or Democrats in really Democratic states.
I gather from the tone of your voice you think that what he's been able to accomplish in this last year is kind of remarkable.
It really is. It's just so hard for any politician to have a lot of popularity across party lines right now. So, you know, Brown, what he did during the campaign was amazing, and he hasn't slipped at all over the last year. He's just as strong as he was a year ago, even after he's had to deal with so many hot-button issues. He's stayed on the right side of public opinion.
Still, analysts say the challenge for Brown is not staying on one side or another, but finding a way to stay in the middle, right on the line, if he's going to win re-election in 2012.
He's been walking a tightrope.
Again, Republican analyst Todd Domke.
If he goes too far right, he fears losing the general election. If he goes too far left, he fears losing his conservative base. It's difficult. He'll fall off that tightrope sometimes, as he did in the midterms, where the state GOP had a wipeout. You know, it showed that he, as popular as he is, that he doesn't have coattails.
It was thought Brown's coattails would help carry Republicans like candidate for governor Charlie Baker and congressional candidate Jeff Perry in the midterm elections in November. it didn't happen. But analysts say that's not necessarily a sign of Brown's weakness. It may just be further evidence that Brown is one of those rare politicians who's elected because people like him, not because they like his party. And that's why, even if she doesn't always agree with his choices, Massachusetts GOP party chairwoman Jennifer Nassour thinks Brown is the best shot she has at keeping a Republican in Washington in 2012.
We have to give him a break, and we have to give him a chance because he's still a freshman. He's still in the middle of finding his way. But at the end of the day, 80%, 90% of voting how we wanted him to vote when we elected him, not so bad.
But some conservatives think it is so bad. Scott Wheeler used to be one of Brown's biggest supporters. He donated tens of thousands of dollars to the Brown campaign through Wheeler's PAC, the National Republican Trust. Now he's written an essay titled, Why Scott Brown Must Be Defeated. He says Brown's support of the new START arms treaty with Russia was the last straw. So let me ask you this question. Will Brown be challenged next year? Are you actively in the field looking for a GOP primary election opponent to face him next year?
Yes, we are. I would look at the Arlen Specter model.
After Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter voted for the stimulus bill in 2009, Wheeler and other right-leaning Republicans vowed to defeat him. Seeing the GOP polls, Specter switched parties, lost the Democratic primary, and is now out of the Senate.
So I see Brown following a similar pattern. The very fact that he came out and announced that, ignore that R by my name, I think that says the direction he's going, and we're more than happy to help him go the way of Arlen Specter.
Back at the coffee shop in South Weymouth, Brown supporter Herbert Yawkus says he hasn't given up on his senator yet, but he needs to see a sign in the coming year that Brown is still the same truck-driving, barn-jacket-wearing guy from Wrentham that he was a year ago.
He got to realize who put him in there. This was an uprising. This was to send a message. And he hasn't sent that message yet.
Sending that message may be Brown's challenge on the Republican side as he moves toward his 2012 reelection bid. But at the moment, he's sidestepping this potential GOP political challenge. Asked to comment, a spokesman for the senator would only say, there'll be plenty of time for politics later. Right now, Brown is focused on his job and on getting the economy moving again. On the Democratic side, the list of potential candidates is taking shape. It includes Congressman Mike Capuano and City Year founder Alan Casey. Both have not yet announced and both ran unsuccessfully in the Democratic primary for the seat last year against the eventual nominee, Martha Coakley. Our story was produced by WBUR's Lisa Tobin.